Okay. The Psukim in Parshas Naso describe a very interesting reality. At least it is one in terms of the way that Chazal interpret the Psukim there in Parshas Naso, as quoted by Rashi, many of the Midrashim, as well as the Gemaras and Mesachas Baba Kama. The din is as follows. Often, if a person steals, so the halacha is, v'heshiv is hagzela, if I steal from you, so I have an obligation to come along and to return that lost object at a later point in time. Chazal speak about what if you've already done things with that object, do we ever let you pay back the monetary value in lieu of giving back the actual object, which is referred to as takanas hashavim. But strictly speaking, I have an obligation to pay back mitzvah asay, beheshiv ishagzeh lasher gazal, I have to return lost objects. If a person passes away, so I return that lost object to their next of kin. If a person passes away and their children were yoreish him, so I owe that money, instead of giving that money to the original victim, well, he's no longer alive, so I give it to the next generation, I give it to that person's estate. That is the normal halacha of beheshiv ishagzeh. That's point one of background information. Point two of background information is that a ger, a person who converts, Igmar tells us in Meseches Divamos, ger shenisgayer kikatan shenolad dami. When a ger converts, a ger is considered to be like a new person. And even though there are certain limitations on just how new the ger may happen to be, a discussion in the Gemara in Divamos we referenced this year between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Sakash, I believe, whether if a non-Jew had children and then he converts, is he still chayiv and puruvu, or do the kids he had ahead of time, do those count? The sugya and kiddushin on daf yid zayin, can a ger ever be yoreish from his father? But we, strictly speaking, generally assume ger shneskayer katan shenola dami. What that means is that when he passes away, if he has no children that he had since he became a Jew, so he has no descendants. What happens to the property of a ger? The property of a ger becomes hefker. The property of a ger becomes ownerless, and kol hakodem zilcha. Whoever is able to come first and take that property is able to take that property. What, however, happens in the following case? And this is the din of Gezel Hager Lichora. Whatever happens, if you steal from a ger, person steals from a ger, and then they want to return it to the ger, but the ger has now passed away. The ger is no longer alive. So what do I do? On the one hand, I have an object which is not mine. I stole it. I should have to return it. But there is no destination that I can really bring it to. It's not really so clear who's able to get this product. So what am I going to do? So the din is as follows. A thing called Gezel Hager. Now, Gezel Hager, an important qualification, I think this is the Pashtas. If you look in Chuvas HaRashba, the Mishnah Melech, in sources 4 and 5, even just the Mishnah there, it could be that if you would just stam steal and you never returned it and the ger dies, you can actually just keep the money. It's the ger's money that becomes hefker and you get to keep it. What is the din of Gezel Hager? Let's say when you stole from the ger came over and he came in front of Beis Din and he said, this guy stole my stuff. And I took a shvua, I didn't. I took a shvua, I didn't really steal from the ger. Then at a later point in time, I realized that I made a mistake. Something happened, it became clear that I really did steal. So now I have to, or now I want to return it. So I had originally stolen from a ger, I had taken a shvua, I did not steal from him. But now I want to come along and I want to return this object. What do I do? On the one hand, I want to return it, but he's not alive anymore, so I can't. On the other hand, maybe we should say, since he's not alive, even though you want to return it, the item becomes hefker, and you acquire the item at that particular point in time. Says the Torah, we have a din called Gezel Hager. What's the din of Gezel Hager? You stole from a ger, and you took a shvua, and now you want to pay back after he died. You give it, says the Torah, Asher Yakrivu, one second. It's a very important pasuk. Says the Torah, V'im ein la'ish go'el, if a person has no descendants, i.e. he is a ger shenisgayer with no descendants, l'hashiv ha'asham elav, we'll speak about what that is, ha'asham ha'mushav la'shem la'kohen. It goes to Hashem, to the Kohen. It's an interesting line. As Mefarshi Rashi point out, either it should go la'shem, I mean, it's like Beis HaMikdash, or it should go la'kohen. What's la'shem la'kohen? Well, we'll speak about it in a minute, or in a little bit. But what we do know is it ends up in the property of the Kohen, and this is one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna, one of the 24 Matanos that the Kohanim get is that they are the recipients of Gezel Hager. They are the recipients of these particular items. That is the introduction to what Gezel Hager really is. What I want to try to do is speak about three different issues. One of them is just saying out what seems to be a really important Chakira, but it's really just a Gemara in Baba Kama that, again, many of us may have seen last year. Then we're going to speak about other Gemaras in Baba Kama, the status of the money that you return, how we relate to it. And then we'll speak about just a very beautiful Torah, I think, about Gezel Hager that we'll try and end with. But let's begin as follows. The Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Kuf Yud Amid Beis has a question. Bai Rava, Kohanim beGezel Hager. How do we understand the fact that Kohanim get the Gezel Hager? That they get when the Ger passed away and you can't return the stolen object to the Ger, then now you're going to be giving it to the Kohanim. How do we understand the Kohanim status? Do we say, Yor Shim Havu? Did the Torah make it as if they are the Yorshim of the Ger? That somehow the Kohanim, it's like they became the inheritors, and all of the money that you get if you're a Kohen has on it Dine Yerusha. It has Yerusha Halachas on it. It's as if the Kohanim, meaning the Ger has no Yorshim, but now it's as if the Kohanim are the Yorshim. Or alternatively, is it more of a gift? Says the Gemara, Oh, Mikabli Matanos Havu. Is it more of a gift? Is it more of a gift? What's the Nafka Mina, whether Gezel Hager is more of Yorshim or if it's more of Mikabli Matana? What is the Nafka Mina? So the Gemara mentions a couple of Nafka Minas. We assume, the Gemara points out, the fact that it's on the list of the 24 Matnas Kehuna, the Gemara says it's on the list, Shema Mina Mikabli Matanos Havu. That when the Kohanim get the Gezel Hager, they get it not as being like Yorshim, but it's called a gift. Why does it matter, again, if they get it as a gift or they got it as Yerusha? So one Nafka Mina has to do with Meiser Behema. Why Meiser Behema? Let's say someone stole from the Ger lots of animals. Person stole 10 animals from a Ger. And now they want to return it to the Ger, but the Ger has passed away. So what do? They give it to the Kohanim. If the Kohen is like someone who's Yoreshit, so if you have animals that you acquired through Yerusha, those animals are Chayav in Meiser Behema. You have to separate the tenth. Those animals are Chayav in Meiser Behema. However, if you understand that the Kohanim are Mekable Matanos, they got it as a gift. So we assume Hanosein Matana, if someone gifts you animals, those animals you get are Putter from Meiser Behema. You're only Chayav in Meiser Behema if it was born in your property, if you were Yoreshit, but if you got it as a gift, so then you are not Chayav, in Meiser Behema. Those are sugyas in the ninth parak of Meseches Bechoros, the section of Shas that deals with Meiser Behema. Says the Rambam, since they're Mekabli Matana, if the Kohanim get all these Meiser Behemas, so then they are considered to be Pater. The next question is a Chametz Nafkamina, the Gemara tells us. The next Nafkamina is a Chametz Nafkamina. What happens if a ger steals chametz if a person steals from a ger chametz a couple days before Pesach, and I'm holding on to this chametz, and on Pesach the ger, the nebuch, happens to pass away, and I kept the chametz over Pesach, the same way I was comfortable stealing, I was also comfortable with chametz she'avra lava Pesach, so now it's the couple days after Pesach. And I have all these loaves of bread. That's not a good example. That would probably have spoiled. But I have different times. But I have all this chametz. And now I have to return Gezel Hager. Do we say, well, at this point in time, you're allowed to just give that which you stole to the Kohanim? The Ger passed away now. It goes to the Kohanim. Are you allowed to just give the Kohanim that same chametz, even though it's currently worthless because it's chametz she'avra alav haPesach, you can still say hareishal chalifanecha. Listen, this is what I took. It's what you get back. I'm sorry you lose out. I'm sorry that you don't get anything better, but this is what it is. Or do we say, since when you stole from the ger, the items that you stole were worth a certain value, even though the objects are now worth less, you still have an obligation to pay what the original value was, what the original value was of the item. So says the Rambam in Hilchos Gezela, Perek Ches, Halacha Ches, this is how we paskin. You get it as a matana. Therefore, Hakohanim Begezel Hager Kimikabli Matanosheim. That we view the Kohanim as if they got a gift. Lefichach, therefore, Hagozel Chametz Ben Hager She'in Lo Yorshim, the Avrilav HaPesach, Chayiv Litin LeKohanim as Damav Kishas HaGezela. There is an obligation to pay back what the original value was. Because you have an obligation to give a gift to the Kohanim, giving them worthless Chametz is not called Al Pidin, really a gift, and therefore you have to give it back. If it was Yerusha, you could just give back the original item. If it was just a Yerusha, so I could tell you, here's what you were Yerush, the item here, I'm giving back the item. So be that as it may, let's chazer what we did so far today, before we get to, I think, what is a more intriguing question even than this. We have as follows. There's a din called Gezel Hager. You steal from a ger, normally you have to return the item. The ger passes away, you took a shvu, you didn't owe it to him, and now you're paying back, you don't give the ger, you give to the Kohanim. What is the nature of the Kohanim's rights in that object? Did the Torah make the Kohanim like Yorshim of the ger, and therefore he acquires it like Dine Yerusha? And because Dine Yerusha, if he got 10 animals, he'd be Chayav and Meister Behema, like one who's Yorish animals. And if a person stole Chametz, and now it's after Pesach, just like you could pay back the descendants of a victim with Chametz Avlava Pesach, so to this guy, you can pay back with Chametz Avlava Pesach. But we assume not like that. We assume, as part of the din, Gezel HaGer is one of the 24 Matnas Kahuna, because it is one of the Matanos that goes to the Kohanim. It's a gift. Because it's like a gift, you're Pater from Maaser Behema. Because it's a gift, they have to get a payment of a value. And giving them Chametz She'avar Lava Pesach has no value, and therefore you have to pay them what the item was worth at the time it was stolen, because that has value. General clarity thus far, 1, 2, and 3. Okay. Now we're going to develop what I think is a really intriguing idea with a question. A lot of this emerges from the Gemara. Yeah. What do you mean? He's a recipient. He's allowed to take it. He is the tshuva process. Instead of paying back the ger, you pay it back to the kohen. It's not viewed as stolen goods. It's viewed as he is entitled to that money, and he totally gets it. That's how that goes. So questions like this. How do you relate to the money that gets paid to a kohen? If you remember, when we spoke about the Matanos Kehuna, the Manos Kehuna, and we're actually covering some real ground here on the Manos Kehuna, when we spoke about them, we clarified that some Manos Kehuna are like karbanos, chatas and asham. They're very kadosh. And because they're very kadosh, they have particular dinar. Some matnos kahuna are not at all kadosh. What's an example of that? The matnos behema, the zroa lechayayim and keva, parts of a regular animal that you give to a kohen, that's like a tax. If you're going to eat this animal, you have to give some of the meat to a kohen. That's one of this. The kohen can do with it whatever they want. They can give it away to people, even non-Jews. They can do whatever they want with that item. Some have more kedusha. Some have less. Some have less kedusha. Sometimes there are questions about the relative status of the matnas kahuna. And here you find something fascinating. I want to point out two just diyukim to get us thinking a little bit. The first is what the Torah said, which is so interesting. The Torah said, when you give the Gezel Hager to the Kohen, it goes Lashem, La Kohen. To Hashem, to the Kohen. Well, which is it? It goes to Hashem or it goes to the Kohen? How exactly do you understand that? So the Chizkuni writes, the Sfarno has a similar line, Lashem la Kohen, Hakadosh Baruch Hu Aviv Shel Ger, Ve'ra'oi Liyorsho. It's Ki'ilu the Ribono Shel Olam is the Ger's father, that Avinu Shebashamayim. If no one can inherit, so who should really be inheriting? God, our Father in heaven, he's the father of the Ger, he should really get it. Ve'ra'oi Liyorsho. Lefichach yinasein leben beso dehainu hakohen. That really it should be going to Hashem. Hashem is like the father of the ger. Now, who's like Hashem's son more than anyone else? Who's ben beso of the Ribono Shel Olam? The Kohanim. So therefore, it goes to the Kohanim. In many ways, therefore, what the Chizkuni points out, which is very intriguing, is that in a certain sense, the the matnas kahuna really don't go directly to the kohen. It's ki'ilu, like we saw with truma, it goes first la Hashem and then to the kohen. Look at the Maharal writes it in Gur Arya there in his Peirush on Chumash. Doesn't matter what happens. He's playing Rashi there. Ella Hashem Knao, God was kona. Based on Rashi there also, God was kona matnas kahuna. V'nasno l'kohen ba'oso mishmar. And then the kohen, who gets it? The kohen that Chazal tell us, the kohen that's working in the mikdash at that time. It goes to Hashem, and then it goes from Hashem to the kohen. Because of that, says the Maharal, what's interesting about Gezel Hager is you don't get to choose which kohen gets it. Which kohanim get it? The ones who are working in the mikdash at that time. Who determines who got it? They're bonus olam. It's not really yours. You give it to Hashem. And then Hashem gives it to the kohanim working in the mikdash at that time. So if we're talking about the status of Gezel Hager, I would have thought that the money that I give is pure chulin. The money I give is entirely mundane, absent any sense of kedusha. But the Lashem LaKohen in the pasuk already gets me thinking a little bit that maybe that's not the case. And maybe it goes from Ribono Sholam to the Kohen. Hashem's involvement may make me think this has like a little bit of an elevated status. There's something else also really fascinating. If you look at the psukim already on source number one on the sheet. How does the Torah refer to the money that this thief pays in the case of Gezel Hager? What's the money called? Beheshev, I would have thought to call it Beheshev as Hagzela, that which you stole. Maybe as Hadamim, the value. I could have heard other terms. How does the Torah refer to it? This vadu es chatasam asher asu. A person confesses their sins. Part of it, you lied to the ger, you took a shvua, you confessed your sins. Beheshev es ashamo birosho. And then you bring and you give back ashamo. What is the asham? Asham, says Rashi, hu hakeren shenishva alav. Asham, in this case, means the principle. The item you stole, you pay back. You pay back. How would you have thought, what would you have thought the word asham means? Typically, I think the word asham is a reference to a karban. The karban asham, we spoke about it in Daf Gimel and Bav Metzia, the karban asham, it's a guilt offering. Certain people mess up, they violate particular averas, their kapara comes through a karban asham. Even though the Torah says asham, we refer to it as, it's really, even though it really means the money. Is that significant or not? Does it matter that that's how the Torah refers to it? So here's a yesod in learning, which will be very helpful. The Rambam has this in a couple of places. There are many more rayas to this. Whenever we have an interpretation of a pasuk, it is not the way you would have interpreted it according to simple pshuto shel mikra, that often is significant. So the Torah says in Parash Mishpatim, we spoke about it this year, I believe, ayin tachas ayin, that you pay an eye for an eye. The simple pshat is, if you cause someone to lose an eye, we should take out your eye. Chazal Darshan in the 8th parak of Baba Kama, ayin tachas ayin means bimamon, that you pay, you don't take out an eye. You don't take out an eye. The question that many of the Rishonim and Achronim deal with is, if it's just a question of payment, so why did the Torah formulate it that way? Why did the Torah say eye for an eye? Shouldn't the Torah instead have said, for every ayin, dam of Yishalim, you pay a certain amount of money? So what's going on here with the formulation? So if you look, there is something, it's very surprising and fascinating. The Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Kuf Yud seems to understand the fact that Asham Karya Rachmana, the fact that the money that you pay back to the Kohen here is called Asham, tells us that the money that you pay back for certain halachas has dine karban. That the money I pay back to the Kohen has karban-like statuses. If you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Gezela and Perek Ches, halacha vav, the Rambam says this very clearly. Mi piashmua lamdu, we learn from Torah Shebaal Peh, shezesh ne'emar batorah vim ein le'ish goel. Who are we referring to? Our pesukim we're referring to Beger Shemes, Ve'ein Lo Yorish Bekas Medaber. The Asham Zeha Amar Kan, Hu HaGezel O Demei HaGzela. And this item that we are returning here, the Torah calls Asham. What's a nafka mean that Torah calls it as an asham? So there's a din in hakravas karbanos. This is the Gemara in Baba Kama. The din in hakravas karbanos, which is you have to bring karbanos by yom. We don't bring karbanos by laila. Says the Gemara there in Baba Kama, gezel hager shehechziruhu balaila. If you return gezel hager at night, what's the din? Lo yatza, lo yatza. Why aren't I yotze? Asham karya rachmana. The Torah calls the money that you return in asham. So the Rambam quotes also, leficha hamachzir gezel hager balaila lo yatza, shrei asham karya kasav, ve'ein makrivin balaila. Ve'ein makrivin balaila. What you see, which is fascinating, is that our Gemara seems to understand that this item that you're returning to the ger, it's like a carbon, which, by the way, may give us additional insight why the Kohen is the appropriate destination. So long it was just it has to go somewhere. So maybe Hashem's is the Yoresh. Hashem gives it to Bnei Beisa, to the Kohanim, or maybe there's nowhere else to put it. Or Kohanim sometimes get extra charity, like the charity funds go to Kohanim because they don't really have Nachla, they can't work the same way, so they give it to them. Once you understand that Gezel Hager, the money that you return, is really considered to be actual, like a carbon, and that's why you can't give it back at night, so why did Kohanim get it? Because Kohanim are always the people that are entitled to get the Kohanim. Not only that, but which Kohanim get it? The Kohanim who are working in the Mikdash at that time. The Anshei Mishmar, the ones who are dedicated for working. Why? Because the item that we're getting is like a carbon. That in of itself is already somewhat surprising. It's a wild idea. The money that you're getting is already called, it's like a carbon. It's like a carbon, and therefore you can't give it at night. You can't give it at night. And it's an intriguing question. The interesting thing to wonder about is how much is this money actually like a carbon? How much is this money actually like a carbon? So I think there are a couple different mahalchim in Rishonim and Achronim, how we relate to the money of the Gezel Hager that gets returned. The Me'iri, I believe, the Me'iri seems to dilute this a little bit. Look in the Me'iri in source number 10 on the sheet. Says the Me'iri, Gezel Hager HaKasav Karu Asham. It's called an Asham. Shene'emar v'im'ein la'ish goel l'hashiv ha'asham elav. Okay, it's that. V'dar shubo ha'asham zekeren. Asham tzarech lachziro b'yom k'din ha'kravas ha'asham. I would have thought to end there. But the Me'iri tells us, why can't you bring it back at night? So I would have said, because it has a din karbon. But it's not what the Me'iri says. Says the Me'iri, v'yira li ha'ta'am, why are we so mocked that you bring it back during the day? Again, I would have said, because it's like a carbon. Meir says, no. Kedei sheyachziru bepirsum me'ata. So that, in order so that it can be done, sheyachziru bepirsum, we want everyone to see this. We want this act to be one which is done in public. If you do it at night, it's not going to really work at night. If you do it during the day, it becomes a much bigger deal. I think what you see from the Meiri is the Me'iri doesn't understand as much that the item we're returning like really has the status of a carbon. It's like a limud. And we learn it's like a carbon, in the fact you should bring it back during the day. So Me'iri says, okay, so why dafka during the day? Why is it so important? It's not really a carbon. We just compare them. So why bring it back during the day? We want it to be public. Now, why would we want it to be public? I think it's one of two pshatim why we want it to be public. Either because we want to help him get a degree of kapara for what he did. Hooray, he stole from a ger. He lied to a ger. A guy converted, he believes in Judaism. And you use our court system, take advantage of him, to take a shvua, which is false. This kind of person can't even return to the ger himself. So he needs a certain process of kapara, which is going to be done in public. Or alternatively, maybe it's preventative. Who are the people that are most taken advantage of in society? Those that are a convert, doesn't have the same foothold in the community. This person doesn't have family members at all. So a person like this is somewhat more vulnerable. The Me'iri understands, you know what we want to do? If you go through this, we want it to be public. We want to use it as a deterrent to ensure others won't do the same thing at all. But be that as it may, if you look at just the Me'iri, it seems like the Me'iri downplays the extent to which this is really considered to be like a carbon. It's not really like a carbon that much. However, there are Rishonim that seem to take their link to Karbanos much more seriously. Which Rishon takes it much more seriously? Look at Tosfos in Baba Kama on Daf Kuf Yud. Tosfos says as follows: Tema, in the list of Matnos Kahuna, so the Rishonim and the Gemara puts them into different categories. And some of the Matnos Kahuna are ones that are not Taloi in Mikdash, but you can give them Afilu Bigvulin. If you're sitting in Shalavim and you have them, you can give them to a Kohen even in Shalavim. One of the ones you can give to a Kohen even in Shalavim is the Gezel Hager. You don't have to give it to him daft in the Mikdash, you can give it to him anywhere. Says Tosfos, the Tema. Amai chashav gezel hager me'asara bigvulin. D'chihechid amar rava hechzir b'lai l'chatan lo yata d'asam karachmana hachanami mechzir bigvulin lo yata k'din asham. It says Tosfos, I don't understand. If you really understand it's like a karban, then what should we say? The same way it's like a karban and you can't give it back at night, you have to give it back during the day, shouldn't it also be like a karban and you should have to give it back to the Kohen in the Mikdash? In the Mikdash. But me'ikir hadin, if I find a Kohen that's supposed to be working in the Mishmar at that time, he's supposed to, and he's hanging out in Shalvim that day, comes back at night, sleep in Shalvim. So that guy, I am allowed to give it to him here. But it's a Tosfos, why? And Tosfos leaves that as a Tzarachian. Tosfos leaves that as a Tzarachian. Tosfos says, I'm not sure why. What do you see from Tosfos? That Tosfos took the comparison to Karbanos so seriously that Tosfos says you should have to give it back in the Mikdash. If you look in the Toras Chaim is one of the commentaries in the Achronim Baba Kama. The Toras Chaim even says, essentially, ein hachinami, meaning, really, really, it's like a karban. And therefore, really, really, you should have to give it back in the Mikdash. But you know what? Even though it's like a karban, since we don't really offer it in the Mikdash, you're not really allowed to bring chulin la'azara, because it does not, you're not offering them as bayach, and therefore we can't make you bring it to the Mikdash because it's us to bring it to the Mikdash. So because lo efsher, we let you give it even outside. But what you see from the Toras Chaim and Tosfos is really it's like a karban. It's really a karban. You're giving it to a Kohen to be like a karban, just since you can't really bring it inside the Beis HaMikdash. So on some level, you're going to be stuck. And because you're going to be stuck, so what do you do with this item? You can give it to him anywhere. So, it's Chalvei de Tzfar. It's one into a third mahalach. Is Reb Chaim Knievsky in his Bir Halacha on Derech Hamuna to Hilchos Bikurim. And with this, we'll finish the second section before we speak very briefly about a very powerful third one. We have as follows as far. There is a din of Gezel Hager. Psukim in Parshas Naso. You steal from a ger, take a shavua to deny it. Later on, his vadu, you have a vidu, you realize you messed up, you confess your sin, you have to return it to a Kohen. We wondered, the Gemara wondered, is a Kohen more like a Yoresh, more like a Matana? He's the Kabbal Matana. Next question, what is the status of the item that you return? So there are some indications it's like a karban. How much is it really like a karban? The Meiri downplays it. It just has certain overlap in halachas, but maybe for very different reasons even. It may just have certain overlap, but not that much, not that similar at all. Tosfos says it's so similar, says Tosfos. I don't understand why, if you're not in Yerushalayim in the Mikdash, you're allowed to give it to a Kohen. We should really require you to give it to a Kohen. There is a third view as far as its status as a Karban, which is what Chaim Kanievsky suggests in Bir Halacha to help explain a Rashba and others, and even to help deepen what's going on in Tosfos. But the Rashba writes like this: it's like a Karban, but even though it's like a Karban, you're allowed to give it out to people outside of the Mikdash. Why? So Chaim Kanievsky writes as follows. Again, he wrote a wonderful commentary on Sefer Zraim of the Rambam called Derech Hamuna. It looks a lot like a Mishnah Brura. He has like a Mishnah Brura type section. He has a longer section next to it called like the Bir Halacha. The name of the Mishnah Brura, Bir Halacha. So in the Bir Halacha there in Hilchos Bikurim, so Chaim Kanievsky has the following suggestion. It says like this. B'lechori yesh lomar. Dal korach ein hanesina kak rava mamish. Says Rechaim Keski the following idea. You know what happens in Gezel Hager? It's an amazing thing. The item you have, it's like a carbon, but it's a carbon that does not go on the Mizbeach. The Chiddush of Gezel Hager is that the Kohanim who receive it, they become like a mizbeach. The kohanim who receive it become, on some level, they become the Torah asta yedei hakohen kimizbeach. That sometimes the Kohen himself, when he receives it, it's like it went on the Mizbeach. So it's like a carbon, but a unique type of carbon. Not a carbon that goes on the Mizbeach, but a special Chiddush of the Torah that this item goes to the Kohen, his hands are like a Mizbeach. Point to Aruchan Kesky, we find a similar phenomenon in some Achronim about the Sandik at a Bris Milah. The Sandik at a Bris Milah, some indications, may also be like a Mizbeach. When the Sandik takes the kid, it's also like a Mizbeach. You'll think about Akeda moments for a second, you know, but that's in many ways what it's going to look like. So we have this question. It's like a carbon. It's like a carbon. And for Chaim Kesky, it's a unique kind of carbon. It's a kind of carbon without the same Kedusha that goes to the hands of a Kohen. I want for the last 3 minutes or so to share with you what is an unbelievable vort about Gezel Hager. It's a great vort to know. Remember at Elul time, remember Parshas Naso time. It's an awesome, awesome Torah to be aware of. It's a vort in a Rambam which comes from a Tzadok in the Pre-Tzadok Parshas Naso, as well as elements of it from his Rebbe, the Ishbitzer, the Me'ashiloach, in Parshas Naso. Also, here is the Torah. I'm a huge believer, and I think it's awesome. The Rishonim debate if there is a mitzvah called a mitzvah of tshuva. Is there a mitzvah to repent? The Rishonim debate whether such a mitzvah exists. It is the opinion of many Rishonim, the Ramban in his Perush al Torah, the Way of Salvation, and others learn Rambam, that for many, that there is a mitzvah to do tshuva. For Rabbeinu Yonah, there's a unique mitzvah in Aseres Yimei Tshuva, Dir Shu Hashem Bihim Matzo. There's an even extra mitzvah to do tshuva, potentially. But there is, for many Rishonim, a mitzvah to do tshuva. Nevertheless, there is a debate amongst Rishonim what exactly the source of the mitzvah of tshuva, what exactly the source of the mitzvah of tshuva happens to be. The opinion of the Ramban, is that the mitzvah of tshuva is learned from psukim in Parshas Nitzavim. Parshas Nitzavim, we speak about v'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha, we speak about tshuva there, and the Torah then says, ki ha-mitzvah hazos, asher anochi mitzavcha, the Ramban says that the Torah is referring to the mitzvah of tshuva. It comes from psukim in Parshas Nitzavim. Interestingly, the Rambam, in the way beginning of Hilchos Tshuva, says, what is the mucker for the din of tshuva mida oraisa? It really comes from the psukim here in Parshas Naso about Gezel Hager, where the Torah says, v'his vadu es chatasam. The Rambam plays up the role of vidoy, of confession, and the Rambam says the real mucker for the idea of tshuva mida oraisa comes from these psukim, v'his vadu es chatasam, that you confess your sins. We see from here, there's an idea called vidoy, an idea called tshuva. Wonders, again, with Tzadok, a little bit the Ishbitzer, why would this be the mucker for the din of tshuva? Why learn it from here and not from Parshat Tzavim, ki ha-mitzvah hazos? What is the significance of learning the din of tshuva from the psukim that surround the din of Gezel Hager? Answers from Tzadok the following Torah. Says Reb Tzadok, if there was ever a person that could have envisioned him not being able to do tshuva, it would be the one that stole from a ger, that took a shvua in Beis Din against the ger, finally decides he's going to try to fix it, ain lo yarshim. He has no one to give it to. If there was ever a person that could have experienced ki ilu, he wouldn't be able to do tshuva, it would have been the person that stole from the ger. He is the one that would have isolated himself, akadekach, that he would not be able to do tshuva at all. So you know what the Torah does? It says, what the Rambam understood, that inside the mitzvah of Gezel Hager is the mucker for the idea of tshuva. To convey to us that the Torah always finds a way for a person to do tshuva. You think there's no one to return it to? The Torah will be mechadish, a din called Gezel Hager, to give a kohen as someone that you can give it to. The Torah will always go out of its way to make sure that anyone, wherever they are, even when the circumstances look like it's impossible, who can I ever give it to? The answer is the Torah takes care of us. Mechadish din called Gezel Hager. We have a way for you to bring it back. I would add not only that, but when you bring it back, this guy that felt like it was all over, this guy that felt like there's nothing he could do, it's even like a carbon. There's even like an element of holiness in that which he's going to be returning. And that is something which I think is so critical and so interesting. So to tell you, that's where the Rambam gets the Makar of Tshuva from, the sugya of Gezel Hager, to teach us in the context of Gezel Hager, within the world of Gezel Hager. So it's from that sugya that you learn the Yisod of Tshuva. The Rabbanu Shalom always makes sure that a person can find a way of repenting. The Rabbanu Shalom always makes sure that a person can find a way to rectify and to fix their sins. So in some of the Manas Kahuna, some have less Kedusha, some have more Kedusha. This is a complex one. It's sort of like a Karvan. It's also sort of very mundane. And it's the Kohanim. It's all about getting it to the Kohanim because they're like the Mizbeach. For Chaim Knievsky's Vort, the fact that it goes to the Kohanim isn't just because there's nowhere else for it to go. It's because the Kohanim themselves become like a Mizbeach. Lashem LaKohen, and for Chaim Knievsky, it reads a little bit differently almost. Like it's Lashem LaKohen, like their hands become like a Mizbeach. There's a Kedusha there, which is present also. And again, I think some very beautiful and very nice Torah about the sugya of Gezel HaGer.